Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, the only moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Monday. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on L'Jarius Sneed and other Titans news, as well as the tournament. Tennessee advances to the Sweet 16. The owners' meeting is going on right now, and I know the AFC coaches' breakfast was today. A lot of the coaches are speaking, including Brian Callahan, new Titans head coach. And the news breaks over the weekend on Friday evening that the Titans are finalizing a deal to acquire cornerback L'Jarius Sneed. And I know there were other things that he was asked about, but he did touch on that this morning.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ease up on that one until everything's officially done. But there'll be a time and a place to talk about all that. Just excited about the player that he is. But as far as any kind of official commentary, we'll wait until it's all signed and sealed.
Well, there you go. That's kind of what you expected there.
That was a soundbite?
That was it.
We could have Dr. Crane put white noise back there and could disguise your voice. You could be Brian Callahan.
Well, you know, I'm just really excited for, Calvin Ridley. I can't talk about other signings at the time, but, we could easily get into other things about coaching additions. And, Rand's done a great job this offseason.
There you go. We're just, put a little noise, a little ambient noise behind you, and you're fine.
We're really looking towards helping out.
So that was it. That was all the –
Well, there were some other things he did say.
Well, but that was the one, okay.
Yeah, he refrained from saying things about L'Jarius Sneed. It's not done yet, Joe.
it's done, but it's not done.
All right, according to him, it's not done yet. I know we're talking about. I get all that stuff there.
But I love the secondary, or I love the cornerback group now. I still think they need to find a safety.
But as you well know, in the National Football League history, not all free agents hit.
No, I know.
You know this, right?
I know.
So, you got.
Well, if you're playing corner, I need you to hit.
All right.
That's kind of a part of the position.
Got two corners now. But of the four big ones they've got, Ridley, Cushenberry, Awuzie. I'll get it correct.
Adobe Photoshop? What?
Awuzie. By the way, I looked in.
Bless you.
What a good dude.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Good dude. All right. So, one of those four, chances are, ain't going to hit, right?
I'd put Pollard in there, too.
I'm not trying to be – well, I guess so, yeah. So there's five.
Yeah.
And then Fuller, that's the one probably it's not going to hit because he's been terrible with the Chargers. And the linebacker, Kenneth Fuller, wouldn't it?
No.
Isn't it Kenneth Fuller?
What's the linebacker? Kenneth Murray.
Murray. See, that's why I don't cover the team.
Oklahoma guy, yeah.
Oklahoma guy. I just sit here and –
like Fuller.
Is he kin to DeMarco Murray?
That's a great question.
Both went to Oklahoma.
I'll look it up for you.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Crane, for doing something. So probably two of those six aren't going to hit.
Maybe. I don't know why you got to come in here and be Debbie Downer.
I'm just playing the odds, man. You're the betting guy. I'm the pit boss.
Oh, yeah. You look like one.
I tell you, and I don't like your attitude. Yeah, so we'll bounce you out of here in no time. You ever been thrown out by a pit boss?
No.
Would you ever fight a pit boss?
No.
They'll break you. You ever see Casino, the movie?
I have. I've eaten in the diner that when De Niro walks out and the car blows up.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. I've eaten in that diner.
That's one of the major movie gaffes of all time because they edited it. It was badly edited.
It was a terrible. And you can see where the dummy. Yeah. He's like, and it's just like. And then there's the dummy.
It is, and then boom. I'm just saying, you want all of them to hit, but you know that at least one's not going to. And if the one's not going to hit, you'd like it to be, I don't know, man, the interior? You want your corners to be able to ones like, all right, great pickups, then you're shutting people down. You want Pollard to be fantastic. You'd have to pick, if I chose it, Chase, you got to pick one of these six not going to make it. Who would it be? and be like, oh gosh, that's a tough question to ask and to answer.
I don't know.
I think you don't want to answer it.
I don't want to answer. You're right. I don't, because I want them all to hit.
Okay. You're like, let's get off this.
Yeah. I mean, no, seriously. Like, I just you're right.
Yeah.
The odds are that you're not going to hit on all of them. Like Deion Lewis, you know, when they signed Deion Lewis, I had him on my short list of guys they should sign. I thought it was a great signing. I thought it was going to work out well, and he was terrible.
So, I don't know what he's doing now because he blocked me.
He blocked everybody. But
he blocked you too?
Yeah.
He went a full block and high down the line.
If only he had blocked on, you know, pass plays, that would have been
He
good,
blocked but. Us all on that. I go back to when the Titans hit a home run. Floyd hit a home run before the 2006 season when he got Mawai,
yeah,
Chris Hope, and David Thornton.
Yep.
They changed the culture in the locker. He'd gotten Vandenbosch the year before, but the three free agents that really came and changed the culture of this football team were David Thornton, Chris Hope, and Kevin Mawai. And Floyd Reese deserves 100% of the credit for turning that team around. When they made the playoffs in 2008, I give Floyd credit for that, even though he wasn't there. Mike Reinfeld was the manager. But that was Floyd's foundation for all that build up. So, you'll get lucky. If you can hit on three of them, four of them, be great.
Yeah.
But if you hit on half of those free agents, man, then
well, you can say the same thing about the draft, too. Like, you know you're not going to hit on all your draft picks either.
True, yeah.
I mean,
it's Titans have done very well, fifth, sixth, and seventh round.
Sure.
Bo Scaife. I know David Stewart went in the fourth round. I know that Cortland Finnegan went in the last round. They've done really well with guys.
Finnegan, well, and I mean, even before, you know, they were the Titans, I mean, Blaine Bishop was an eighth round pick.
Yeah, they were.
That was pretty darn good.
Finnegan helped out because Donnie Nicky was suspended for a few games. So Finnegan got to play, and that opening game against the Jets in 2006 played his tail off.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. You get to make the most of the opportunity. But if you can hit on 75% of your free agents that you sign, 50% of your draft choices, I think you're good. I mean, you look at it. Go ahead.
Well, and I think to your point, that is that's the dangerous part of when you have so many holes on a team like the Titans do, and you're having to, even though you have the cap space, you're having to rely on free agency as much as they had. That it's kind of a crapshoot to get them all to hit. Like, if all of these guys that they have signed turn out to work,
right?
Then, I mean, right now we're probably talking about at least a 7-8-9 win team.
Easily. All right. For example, 2018 Tennessee Titans draft. They took four players, one hit.
All right. When? 2008?
2018.
18.
Rashawn Evans? Awful. Goodbye. Dane Cruikshank? Yeah.
He's all right.
Luke Falk? Out of here before the
waste
first game.
Of a pick.
Harold Landry?
Yep.
So you had one out of four. So if you can get 50% of your draft choices who can contribute, not say a starter, you want that, but can contribute in a positive way to your team, that's all good.
Give me 2019, because 2019 was pretty good.
First of all,
good.
Don't point at me.
Please. 2019 was pretty – obviously, Jeffrey Simmons was the first pick.
This is a pretty good draft here.
I think that's Robinson's best draft.
Let's see here. First pick, Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
Second pick, A.J. Brown.
Yep.
Third pick, Nate Davis.
Yep.
Not bad.
Of course, two of those three aren't here anymore. But
shouldn't let him go on to the Bear. They should have kept him, you know. But
Vrabel didn't like him.
Amani Hooker.
Pretty good.
DeAndre Walker, who just.
Yeah, I thought he'd be better than
same.
He was.
And then finally, the guy, the one player that hates Mike Vrabel than any other player that played for Mike Vrabel.
David Long.
David Long Jr. Good job, Chaser. Yep. Sixth-round draft choice out of West Virginia. So you had Simmons, Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker, and David Long. David Long Jr. Five of
it's
your
pretty
six
good draft.
Knocked it out of the park.
That's definitely Robinson's best draft.
And you got two of those five left over. So that's 40% that you have left over there from the draft.
Yeah. Now, I think right now early returns on last year's draft are pretty good. Now it's all going to depend on Levis, I think, but. What they've done, what they did in last year's draft, Skoronski, so far so good. You know, you get the left side shored up. I think that's going to be even better. Whether it's a high pick for a guard or not, like right. I still think he's going to be pretty good. Obviously, Levis. You got let's see who else. Spears. you know, with the third round, he's looking pretty good. So, and there, you know, there's others. So I think so far so good on last year's draft.
I think Skaronski's going to be a fantastic player. I think he'll be a fantastic player.
I think he'll be an all-pro. Like, you put him with Bill Callahan. Like, because – and I'd love to get Bill Callahan on the show to ask him questions like this. But I feel like a guy like Skaronski, you're not having to coach as much technique as – now it's just we're going to polish it. Now it's like, hey, you kind of know what you're supposed to do. I'm going to help you polish it. I feel like that's where Bill Callahan comes in for a guy
absolutely.
Like Skaronski.
Oh,
whereas
absolutely.
Somebody like Radens, you're going to fix some things. You're going to go over some of the fundamentals and techniques and try and make him where he's a good – I mean, and you know, he played okay at times last year. But I think you're just hoping you can make him a good backup.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, what if you could change Radens around? I think it was a terrible pick anyway. By
getting
him.
It was a bad pick, but –
But I think also as well, you could have a you turn him into something serviceable as a backup, as a
sure.
quality backup. You could do that. If Bill Callahan is this god of offensive linemen that everybody's talked about, then absolutely you have.
Well, and I think what you're seeing is the guys that are going into camp, Bill Callahan has told Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon, let me work with them and see what I can do. The ones that are gone, he's basically said, yeah, no chance.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, but you hope he can work his magic. And you talk about how this guy, you know, even Jeff Fisher talked about, sat with us and talked about how great that Bill Callahan was. By the way, the 2020 sure. NFL draft for the Titans?
Awful.
Isaiah Wilson, gone. Christian Fulton, gone. You remember they took in the third round running back? The Titans took in the third round of the 2020 draft.
Darrington Evans?
Man, you're killing it today, yeah. Chaser. Yeah.
Terrible.
From Appalachian State, terrible. So your first three picks from the 2020 draft
they gone.
Are all gone. I'm trying to see if they hit on the fourth rounder here. My computer's really slow today.
was the fourth round the receiver out of Louisville, or was that next year? That might have been next year.
They didn't have a fourth rounder,
yeah,
according to
okay.
this. So fifth round would have been in the 2020 draft for the Tennessee Titans. Was that Racy McMath, or who was the guy from Louisville? I forget his
Des
name.
Fitzpatrick.
Des Fitzpatrick. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
they passed on Amon-Ra St. Brown to trade yeah. up and get Des Fitzpatrick.
Oh, then the fifth round of 2020, the Titans took Larrell Murchison, that guy from NC
wow.
State, who's just – is he even on the team anymore?
Played for the Chargers last
yeah,
season.
Yeah, he's still
– did pretty decent.
He's in the league, yeah.
Well, that figures. They go someplace and have a great career over there. And now I'm trying to think – one more in the seventh round who they picked in the seventh round in the 2020 draft. Chris Jackson, cornerback out of Marshall –
He was one of those guys that was like – he kind of hung around for a little bit, but then
– I'd rather take Chris Jackson, the basketball player from LSU, instead of this guy who played there. So,
is he one of the Jackson Five? Or?
He's not, okay. But he could be. Chris Jackson changed his name. Remember what he changed his name to? You're so young.
Yeah, I know.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who still might be the best pure shooter in college basketball. He was on the team with Shaq.
Oh, yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
At LSU, Shaq, Stanley Roberts, and Chris Jackson.
615-737-1025. Jonathan Hutton going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll also have some Preds tickets to give away before we call it a day. And speaking of Preds, tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ and get your home seen, heard, and sold.
Who you are and what you're gonna be.
This has to be a Big Joe request. Is this me from karaoke?
Oh, you missed it. Oh, it was a Peter Brady lost his voice. It sounded like you today.
Oh, okay. I was a little confused. Okay, I get it now. I was a little confused with that.
We were so excited the last 45 minutes planning this out, too. So that's you. You've lost your voice today. It's all right, though. Hey,
no,
look,
it's back now.
Puberty's something you go through. It's okay.
Finally.
You finally get it. Little chest hairs. You'll be all right.
Oh, man. Oh, my goodness, as you like to say. So I just put this out on my X account, Twitter, asking the question of how does the Snead trade for the Titans change your view on them, or does it at all? 615-737-1025.
How does it?
I mean, I think you feel better about the cornerback group now.
Well, I think you feel better about this team spending money.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Yeah, you got – what's the great soundbite Trevor Maddich has, the commercial that we – the promo?
Oh, yeah, basically the GMs – GMs aren't judged on spending money on the stars. It's the guys that aren't the stars.
Something like
I'm
that.
Paraphrasing.
Yeah. It's a great line.
Yeah.
Because you're paying non-star star money.
Right.
So I think now if you do your due diligence on these guys, except for the Kenneth Murray guy who everybody seems to bash,
yeah,
that these are good pickups, that you're spending money in the right places on the Ridley, on the Snead, on the Adubiwe?
Awuzie.
Awuzie. God, I'll get that correct. I apologize. Awuzie. And the Cushenberry, I love the Cushenberries. I really love the Cushenberry signing.
He was on, Teron and I interviewed him on Friday. So
telling me this.
Yeah, I am. You can check this out at thegamenashville.com. But he
I've
was
talked
great.
To you all weekend, and this is the first I'm hearing about your interview with Cushenberry.
I'm sorry. My bad. I didn't tell you I was on TV. I know.
Why didn't you not do that? You were on TV last night.
You were on TV?
Yeah. I was on TV. I get a text at 10:18. I'm about to fall asleep. Chaser's on TV. I'm like, send me that text at 7.
My bad.
So I could stay up to see. We're Fox 17? What were you babbling about last night?
The Predators.
Okay.
Yep. As long as chill.
All right. Why can't you send this earlier?
Because
I know you're a humble guy, and I get
because,
this.
All right, I need an assistant to do this stuff for me because I forget. Like, I did the thing. I was on TV, and then I forgot to tell people.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's not how you do things.
Well, I don't mean to, but there's a lot going on up here. Okay, I got to remember a lot of stuff.
No? Are you sure about that?
Well, maybe not. That's why I forget stuff.
Just start putting sticky notes on your doors when you leave.
I don't want to put
toilet
sticky
paper.
Notes. Like, that requires effort.
Or like, hey, Siri, a reminder. Chase is a jerk. All right? Remind me that at 11. Oh, God, it did it. It says Chase is a jerk right there on my phone. Sorry about that. Mm, all right. What, you had some rule change. What were you talking about earlier?
Yes, the NFL, the owners have voted to ban the hip drop tackle at their owners' meetings.
That's going to take years to get that out of the game.
NFL owners plan to ban the hip drop tackle on Monday during the league's annual league meeting. NFL Network reports the move is to eliminate the controversial play, which is described as when the defender grabs the runner with both hands or wraps the runner with both arms and unweights himself by swiveling and dropping his hips or lower body, landing on and trapping the runner's legs at or below the knee.
Didn't Delanie Walker get injured that way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This had unanimous support from the competition committee.
Good. It'll take years to get that, the hip drop tackle. It'll take years because it's got to start in youth football and work its way up. It's where it starts. I'm telling you right now. You could still do it, but guys know that's a tackle. It'll take years to get that. Like the horse collar. It took a long time to get the horse collar out of the league, and now you've gotten out of the league. It's like the same thing with leading with your helmet. You've got to start teaching the kids youth football. Not, you know what I mean? And this was like in the 2000s, like for 10-year study. How many concussions were in Australian rules football? Like 2. Because they know not to use their head.
Right.
They know not to use their head. So,
well, they don't wear helmets, right?
They don't wear helmets.
Yeah.
So you're not, but it's very easy to get your head hurt like that way. So it'll take a while. I'm glad they're doing that because that's an awful injury.
Look, I remember in high school, we had a receiver who was really, really good. Smaller guy, though.
Bill Whittemore?
No. It was a smaller guy, and he always led with his head. And they finally were like, you have got to stop doing that. You're going to get hurt. And he couldn't break himself from it. So they benched him, and it hurt the team, but they benched him until he could figure out not to lead with his head. Because he got like 2 concussions doing it.
Well, I'm surprised you get paralyzed. I mean, we all go back to the Chucky Mullins hit on Brad Gaines back in 1989 that paralyzed Chucky Mullins. It was just, don't lead with your head. Just don't do it. I mean, it was a bang-bang play. I get all that. But there are plays like that throughout history in football. If you lead with your head, that's going to happen.
Is it just like a natural – you feel protected. You think you're protected from the helmet, and so naturally
it used to be that way. Now some dudes just do it to be malicious.
Macho.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of – who had got suspended in the NFL? The Broncos player. Who was it that got suspended for using his head repeatedly? And
they defensive back.
Yeah. They warned him and warned him and warned him, stop doing this. And he kept doing it. I mean, those days are gone when Lester Hayes or Jack Tatum, you know, knocks you up. I mean, now you can't leave your feet. You can't hit a defensive
– Kareem Jackson.
Kareem, thank
you. He did it, I think, 3 times this past season.
Yeah. He was warned every time, don't do this. So I don't know what you're trying to prove with that. And so, like, well, you know, the shoulder. I mean, look, you're protected with the shoulder pads. Hit guys with your shoulder pad. I mean, that's why they're there for. The helmet's merely protection. Do not leave with your helmet. Spearing back in the day was awful. I mean, we all got speared back. It was terrible. Terrible. And I've told you my worst injury, I got hit in the chest, speared with a crackback block that cracked my sternum, and I thought I was going to die on the football field.
Yeah.
It was the worst injury ever. And they've taken crackbacks out of the game, which is great. But there's still a lot of people that don't follow the rules. And so this hip drop tackle will be one where it'll take a while to get out the game, but that's an awful injury. It always ends badly.
Coming up next, we're going to get more on the Titans from Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. He will join us, get his thoughts on the Snead trade and much more. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Well done, Dr. Crane. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Dr. Crane doing some good producing today because the hip drop tackle has been banned from the National Football League. That was very good.
Turkey chirp real quick. Yeah. Nice.
This was a courtesy of Joe Dubin.
Okay. Oh,
recommendation.
You take the credit, buddy.
All right. Well, that's good. Let's say hello now to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, who joins us every Monday at this time on the program. Hutt, what's up? How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start with the big news that came Friday evening. We all saw the notifications that the Titans were closing in on a trade for Legarius Sneed, not giving up a whole lot to get his services. Obviously, they're going to have to pay him, but it seems like the rumors I've seen of what the money is, even though he's going to enjoy it, it's not an awful cap hit. What do you make of the move and how that helps the Titans secondary?
Yeah, I mean, the three-pack now of the starting corners, a tremendous upgrade on paper compared to what we saw last year. And, you know, the Roger McCreary now, who plays is primarily playing inside. That's where they want him to play. They now have two corners with length on the outside that can then step up and play aggressive, especially with Legarius Sneed. And look, I think they're playing the type of coverage and signing some players that Wilson wants in his secondary. And compared to what they had versus what they do have, I think it's just, again, early indications, job well done by the offseason plan, even if they missed out on some players that they were trying to go after, ending up with Ridley and then Sneed. It's a good base for what is more than just one off season. You know, I'd caution to overreact to what they've done. But in the NFL, especially when you have some money to spend, as long as you go out and you identify the players are going to help you and they do that, you get the return on investment. You're one step closer and in some cases, 2 or 3 years ahead. That mainly comes through the draft. You know, the supplements happen through free agency. They need to hit and hit a few homers in this draft, especially with the amount of picks they currently hold.
Going into this offseason, you know, I kind of looked with everything they were losing and, you know, you got a new coach in here and now Rand Carthon taking over. I mean, I was basically going, all right, this team might be a 3 or 4, maybe 5-win team, something like that. Now that free agency, the bulk of free agency is done, obviously I still think there's a couple of, you know, post-draft signings that could take place, cuts, all that, and then you have the draft. I would say right now I still probably put them in the 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range. How do you view, and I agree with you, this is more than one off season. It's an improvement, but you got to be patient here. Where do you kind of put them now when it comes to, you know, how many wins they could have pre-draft before you go through that process?
Well, I like the opportunity that they have. Look, there are a lot of ifs and unknowns with that, Chase, to this point. They need left tackle badly. They've got to hit on that. And that needs to be that is a priority. You can look at the holes across this roster. They still have those gaps. They have filled more to this point now, and that's why you get a longer term contract at corner with Snead compared to what we're seeing on the free agent market, where there's not a free agent with a longer contract than 3 years this offseason so far. The returns have been mixed on some of the free agent signings at corner in recent years, up and down play, but it's still a league that where you've got to have your top guy. I mean, look around to the top corners and see who they're covering and see how those defenses have been. There's a lot of money allocated moving forward on defense. I don't mind that, given the fact that it's led by Jeffrey Simmons up front. He needs to continue to play like a top paid defensive tackle in the NFL, and they need to add more there. They need left tackle. They need another young wide receiver and inside backer, safety as well. There are still gaps to fill here that lead me to say it's still undetermined where they are, right? This term is prediction. They have the opportunity to trade back potentially at pick 7, pick up more draft capital and use that to their advantage, Chase. But look, I like the plan as it has unfolded. And, you know, you have Callahan at the owners meetings, saying that, Ridley was in a position for them where they had allocated other money for other players to see how things panned out. And when those players signed elsewhere, it allowed them to be more aggressive in the deal towards Calvin Ridley. Even their secondary option versus what they had allocated for other players, I like the direction that they ended up with. And, you know, it's been hit or miss with the Titans in free agency. I like the plan that they've laid out because it's a good base. But overall, you got to protect the quarterback, and Will Levis has to step up and play. And Callahan's calling plays for the first time. There are a lot of just a lot of intangibles that we have yet to actually see unpack.
Oh, 100%. Talking to Jonathan Hutton this morning. Jonathan, this just came a little while ago. Denver, you know this. You've covered the team for long enough that draft day, nothing ever goes according to plan, ever. And now there's reports that Denver right. might be, along with Minnesota, very active in moving up and grabbing a quarterback. So the Titans want to get their number 7 pick. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens 4, 5, 6 before them. For the Chargers at 5, the Giants at 6, what goes on? It's going to be all interesting. But if all this plays out, I mean, they got to get that left tackle, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and if we're talking aggressive at quarterback in the draft, Joe, I mean, what does Arizona do at 4? You know, it doesn't sound like Washington wants to back out at 2. New England, no. It doesn't sound like they want to back out at 3. It's got to be an offer that just blows people away. Same thing I would think, guess for Marvin Harrison Jr., but that would be another player that teams would be clamoring for to trade up for, would be my guess. And if that's how it unfolds, Joe, Titans could theoretically still trade back and end up with one of the top two left tackles and specifically end up with Joe Alt. Even in some of the mock drafts I've seen, guys have the Titans trading back and still ending up with Alt. It never goes according to plan, but you can still end up with a premier player, an elite player that's a non-quarterback, and end up gaining more draft picks along the way. Of course, they gave up one of their 7th rounders and swapped it, I should say, with Kansas City, but no gain really there overall. They need more top 100 if they can get it. Right now, they don't have those picks. There's just a couple of them. So that's where the value is, and what is a top-heavy first round and a top-heavy top 100 overall compared to the rest of these picks, where I think in years past, the talent pool has been more even through rounds like 3 through 5, 3 through 5.5, 6. And I don't get that sense this year, talking to a couple of people that have really dug into a lot of these picks. I think the talent pool is top heavy overall. And I think that's the value here. And maybe some teams do want to trade back and take advantage of that. The Titans are one of them. And where they pick at 7 compared to where some of these other teams are, like Minnesota, for instance.
Right.
If you're Denver, you want to get ahead of that, especially if the quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3 and the teams aren't going to move. And you like McCarthy, for instance, or if McCarthy is a shock to someone and or they're in love with J.J. McCarthy and you end up with a Jaden Daniels or a Drake May that is the fourth quarterback. I'd be stunned. But again, we've seen crazier things happen, and that's where your value really ticks up. The Titans aren't going to get much in return unless it's for a quarterback and probably the fourth one that people would be clamoring for.
Oh, absolutely. You've done this a long time, like Chase and I have as well, that you're not going to hit on all your free agents pickups, right? You're not – all of them aren't going to hit. What's a percentage you'd like to see of the six guys that we think they've signed so far? What's a good percentage? You like to see four of those hit? Because theoretically, it's going to be maybe three at most. But if they can get four of these guys to really hit, do you consider that a win, Jonathan?
Yes, but it as long as two of them are Snead and Ridley, then that's where their money's invested, right? Like that.
Yeah.
That those guys need to be hits. That's where they have missed out in years past. Now, some of those picks or some of those signings, I should say, Joe, in years past have been like the quote unquote go for it moves, right? Where you have maybe they're going for it at wide receiver, or they're going for it with Clowney, for instance. These guys are more long-term contracts, younger players that have to be the core of their roster because of the money allocated. So I'd say that those two have to be a part of your four pack if you're saying that. Beyond that, you'd like to see Pollard be a hit at running back, but to me, Spears is still moving forward, going to be your guy in mind. I'm looking at just the money allocated and thinking to myself, well, there's two guys that Carthon has to make sure that are consistent players week in and week out, barring injury, which always goes unsaid, that consistently show up and produce for this football team. And it's L'Jarius Sneed, who did that in Kansas City, has progressively improved his overall play to where he's now getting his payday. And Calvin Ridley, who, you know, by all accounts, comes in super focused very aware about where he was versus where he is and what type of role he's going to have to play. So success will be judged on that, because they went after receiver and corner, not a great free agent crop at left tackle. And again, they're pairing that with a new regime and a new outlook on what this team is going to be built as and the structure will look like. All of that's important moving forward compared to what they did last year in this time of year, where it just felt one foot in, one foot out. This is a very different feel, a very different direction compared to a year ago.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from Outkick. Real quick, the Vols advanced to the Sweet 16 for the third time.
Yeah.
Under Rick Barnes, not going to be an easy one against Creighton, but I do feel like Tennessee should be the better team. What's your early take on that matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait. I think that's the best matchup of the Sweet 16, honestly. I love the way the matchup kind of looks right now versus the way Creighton has looked. They've been on fire. Tennessee, you know, they can't – showing that they can win that type of game with that lack of offense the other night, that's big. Now, they can't shoot like that again, and I'm not going to pick them to win the game if they shoot like that again, Chase. But the fact they won that game and Dalton Kinect played that like that, and you don't see him normally have back-to-back games shooting like that. This is going to be a great game in Detroit. You know, they've got the other game, too, with Gonzaga playing at Purdue in that, too. So, look, I can't wait for the weekend in Detroit. I think Tennessee is the better team top to bottom. I think Creighton is built to win this time of year as well. And the winner of that is going to give a great push to Purdue, who is, I mean, they've looked like the team through two games. They look like the focus team. Rick Barnes, I think that's a big hump for him, getting over Texas and doing it like that. I like Tennessee's chances. I do, because I don't think Dalton Kinect plays like he did this past weekend on Saturday in back-to-back weeks. And I think the Vols will be focused going into the Sweet 16, which is where the expectation has been. And I said with Caroline Willie and D. Mace a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was last week, to me, the bar is just getting to the Elite Eight and facing Purdue and see what happens there, where we've seen these two teams face off earlier in the season, Chase, and we saw how close that game was.
You got Chase's attention when you mentioned bar. So, well done.
That is the bar.
Sure.
The bar,
right. For sure. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Have a great rest of the week.
You too. Buddy. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joining us every Monday at 10:30. come back. Edward was at the MTSU women's basketball game against LSU. We'll get your call on that, plus celebrity birthdays and more. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe here on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Before we get out of here in the next few minutes, be listening for your chance to win Preds tickets to tomorrow night's game against the Vegas Golden Knights. That will be happening momentarily. I will give you the cue. Edward has been waiting patiently. Edward was at the MTSU women's basketball and LSU game. Edward, what's up?
How you doing, guys? Love your show.
Appreciate it.
Very entertaining. I'm not asleep at all.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Listen, LSU fans, I'm going to try to be a positive person. They are confrontational. They are rough. And they always want to challenge you. I think the referees, with Kim Mulkey and her current media issues with the Washington Post and the fans unhappy, it was a brutal atmosphere. 37 free throws for LSU, 9 for MTSU. That seems off to me. But Dan, on a lighter note, I want to say that, you know how you have the restrooms and there's long lines, and this is clean, guys, so you don't have to cut me out or anything. The women's line is always a lot longer. The men's line is shorter. So I'm in the men's line, and there's a 20-something-year-old woman in line with us. And she kept saying under her breath, "I'm not afraid to use the men's bathroom. I've never seen this in 62 years of my life." So she goes on into the stall, and then the police come in. They wait for her. They intercept her. And she goes on back to her seat. I ran into that cop later outside the arena, and I said, "Man, in my 62 years, I've never seen that." Maybe y'all have. I haven't. No. And he goes, "Well, unfortunately, that happens a lot down here."
Okay.
So yeah. It was a great game, but I just felt like it was a little lopsided on the calls, and
yeah,
I said the fans were a little rough. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, right. Edward.
Thank you, Edward. Sorry about that loss.
The only time I've seen that, what he was just talking about with the restrooms, is the Taylor Swift concert. Like the obviously there were a lot more women at the concert than men, and so there was a line to both bathrooms full of women in the men. You just kind of walked past them like, "Hey, you're in our turf."
Right.
Sorry.
Oh, man.
All right, with that, let's get to celebrity birthdays, and what day is it?
Well, time constraints. We have to move along in the show. We're going to do birthdays for you. All right, first birthday today, got to get him within two. Sir Elton John. How old is Elton John today?
80.
86.
77. She was on You Won't Know Her. Sarah Jessica Parker from Sex and the City.
48.
53.
59. She's married to Ferris Bueller. Don't know who this guy is. Danica Patrick. By the way, I cannot stand Danica Patrick for what she did at the National Super Speedway one time, waiting to interview her. So I am not a fan.
I can't stand her for many reasons.
Can't stand Danica. I know it's your birthday, Danica, but I still can't stand you.
Yeah. Let's see. That overrated race car driver is 44.
47.
42. Chaser knows his overrated race car drivers.
Yes, I do.
Catherine McPhee.
Who's that?
She was on American Idol and some other shows. She's married to David Foster. Catherine McPhee.
The former sportscaster at Fox 17.
Yeah, she's married to him.
Nice.
Big Dave hit it out of the park.
38.
41.
She's 40. Dr. Crane got it closer. All right. Oh. Film critic Gene Shalit, who, by the way, still alive. Had no idea.
91.
87.
98. Singer Anita Bryant. I think she sings "I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar." Numbers too large to ignore.
Wow. 72.
I don't know. 84?
84 exactly. Dr. Crane with two.
Sweet.
John McClane's wife in Die Hard, Bonnie Bedelia.
64.
77.
76. Dr. Crane's killing it. It's up 4-1 now. Turner Classics movie host Ben Mankiewicz. How old's he? I said his name wrong, but
74.
66.
57. Comedian Chris Redd from Saturday Night Live.
47.
53.
39. Rapper Big Sean. 39.
47.
36. Music producer Ryan Lewis of Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
41.
43.
36. And that's it. Anyway, Dr. Crane, you win 4-1. Good job, Pumpkin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate good job, Dr. Starting off Monday, good day.
Yeah, well done. As we do every show to our guys out there, look, you know it's a Monday. Things might be tough. I'll be struggling a little bit. It's okay. It's okay not to be okay. Please, if you need to reach out, call on your cell phone, 988. Somebody's there to talk to you. If you need to talk to us, you can find us on social media. We'll always talk to you as we tell you every show, every day, that you are immensely loved and our world is a better place because you are here. Please know that we love you.
Peace, love, rock and roll. We're back at it at 9 tomorrow. Caroline's back. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.